Welcome to the Wellness Couch. We've got a special edition tonight at 6 o'clock to 6.30. We've got Fight for the Bite, hosted by Grace Gardner. Now, our Great Australian Bite is considered to be one of the most pristine marine environments on Earth. It's a sanctuary and whale nursery recognised internationally for its animals, including southern right whales and their cars, blue and humpback whales, and even Australian sea lions. Right now, though, it is all at risk. Oil spills are irreversible, and Australians love our coastline. We depend on it for our way of life, from food to recreation to the massive fishing and tourism industries that we have along our coastline. The negative impacts of altering these ecosystems will be felt across the state and beyond. Now, Apollo Bay hosted a protest last Friday, the 23rd, a Fight for the Bite. It was a project developed by a Year 10 schoolgirls, Grace Gardner, Hannah West and Lenny Newman, that brought Greenpeace, the Rainbow Warrior, to the Bay. As a health practitioner, my focus is on health and health for the community. So obviously that encompasses the environment. It is obvious that I'm going to stand by these girls. I'm going to stand with Greenpeace and the Rainbow Warrior as they make the community aware of Fight for the Bite. So I'm proud of these girls and their fight for protecting the environment for future generations. Listen in as we talk to Holly from Greenpeace, the Grade 10 girls, Grace Gardner, Hannah West and Lenny Newman.
Vibrant coastal communities, jobs and recreational activities. It supports wild fisheries and aquaculture industries worth $440 million per annum and regional tourism worth $1.2 billion per annum. And that's from the 2013 to 14 stats. So we've got a few people here tonight which are fantastic. I'll introduce Holly, the campaigner for Greenpeace. We've got Hannah, Grace and Lenny.
Hi Kat. Yeah.
How are you going? Hey. How are you all?
Yeah, all good. Right. Yeah, cool. Really good.
What a protest we just had.
Yeah.
It was
all
amazing.
Cold
what a great
and wet.
Turnout. Yeah. Great turnout though, wasn't it? Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Support from the community. That was great to see. So, Holly, let's go into it. So you're the campaigner for Greenpeace. So what's the Fight for the Bite all about? Why are you actually here in Apollo Bay at the moment?
So we've been working on the Bite campaign for about 3 years now, Greenpeace has. We started in 2015 when BP was set to drill in the Bight.
Oh, wow.
Their environment plans were knocked back, thankfully. There was a lot of community opposition in South Australia from fisheries, tourism, and small communities all across the southern coastline.
So why were the permits knocked back?
So the way our regulator works at the moment is we can't see that. We can't see why the environment plans were knocked back. It's all kept under wraps. We have put in multiple Freedom of Information asks to get that information, and when we do, it's heavily redacted. We have gotten BP's last environment plan, but all of the juicy bits are taken out of it because of how our regulator works. It's extremely untransparent. They're actually going through reforms at the moment to become more transparent. Equinor, who are set to drill next year in the Bight, they have started doing their consultations for their environment plan. So that's the final approval that you need before you drill for oil.
So they've gone a fair way down the track then already without having any transparency or community engagement.
Yeah, so they have consultations with the agencies that are responsible for spills and for safety regulations, but the process is very untransparent. But this will be actually the first time Equinor's environment plan, they are going to put it out to the public for 30 days of for a consultation period where people from communities and agencies and organisations are all going to be open to make public comment on this. And the regulator is actually going to enforce Equinor to consider all of these things. So I think that'll be a really important time. Hopefully we can stop it before that happens. But if they do put in their environment plan, I think that'll be another like key point in this campaign where people from the community can actually get their message across and say that they don't want this risk. They don't want deep sea drilling in the Bight because it's risky, and which climate change is happening. The IPCC report a month ago showed that we cannot open up any more fossil fuel reserves.
Now, my concern, I had a look at the report on the recent research into the bite, and they said that latest scientific research showed that 85% of marine animals are endemic to that particular area. So there's even marine animals we don't even know about that are actually existing there, and they've just recently found that exists nowhere else in the world.
Yeah, so 85% of species that are found in the bite are found nowhere else in the world. So that means if there was a spill, if there was an accident, and it doesn't matter if it's a small spill, those spills are, fish species are incredibly, especially like the small, like baby fishes. I don't know the word for that. not a scientist, I'm a campaigner. They are impacted by that. So we've actually done, we're going to be doing some studies in the Bass Strait. Our Rainbow Warriors doing a trip across the southern coastline. We're actually working with this fish scientist. She calls herself, she's a fish physician who works on the in the Great Barrier Reef. And she does tests. She did tests in we're in Montaro after the Deepwater Horizon on fish. And it shows that even tiny spills, like in the Bass Strait, there are, you know, leakages all the time from old wells, and how this impacts fish and their breeding cycles. So I think highlighting the fact that drilling in the bite is really, really dangerous. It will be the deepest well in the world for oil if it does go ahead at 2,200 metres. Deepwater Horizon.
Just 2,200 metres from the surface down to where the wild.
From the surface to the seabed, and then it's about another 2 kilometres down to where they expect oil or gas to be.
That's an awfully big drill.
This is experimental.
They don't even know that if there's actual oil there. And what's very frustrating is that there's already renewables that are existing that, that can replace this. We could have a win-win situation where the economy can benefit and where the marine animals and communities thrive in a pristine environment. I don't understand why we need old, outdated methods when we've got fantastic renewables waiting there for us. Mm. I just don't understand why we don't take that up.
Absolutely, Kat. Like, renewables are renewables are cheaper now than coal. The price of oil right now is low. They can't. It's not even profitable anymore to do it, to do these deep sea projects. We need renewables now if we're going to stop dangerous climate catastrophe. And Australia has, like, as a well-off nation, we have a, you know, we have the obligation to do more. And we really need to be, you know, implementing investment, big-scale renewables projects right now instead of, you know, thinking about, you know, really dangerous exploration activities.
So, Holly, didn't the Paris Act put out a act where, in regards to climatic change as well, we'd be contravening that if we allowed people to utilise those permits?
This is a really interesting question because of our exports and because of the international markets. So the IPCC report came out, I think, last month, and it had basically it had really like set out plans of if we want to hit, if we want to stay under 1.5 degrees, if we want to stay under 2 degrees, and if we want to stay under 3 degrees, this is what would have to happen. Mm. And basically it said we can't open up new fossil fuels, and we have to we have to stop using coal in the next 10 years, otherwise we will be, like, it'll be 3 degrees. And that means extinction, like rapid extinction of marine and our wildlife.
Polar caps.
Polar caps, and it's like tipping
ultimately us, obviously. The signs are all there.
So back to your question, Kat. How does this impact on our, like, agreements? So Equinor is a international company, international corporation. So how the Paris Agreement works is it only, emissions are actually only taken into consideration is where they're burnt. So what will happen is if they find oil there, they'll take it and then they'll take it to another country, usually a much worse, less well-off nation. It won't be burnt in Australia. So that's that's another argument that always comes up, is that people like Senator Matt Canavan say that, you know, we can have fuel security. Well, no, Equinor have their own market contracts, and the oil will go elsewhere. It won't come to Australia.
So Australia won't really benefit from this?
No, we have no oil refineries. We won't be able to produce it.
Great for the economy.
Yeah,
I'm just blown away, really. So I just read somewhere too that BP pulled out of the bite after they realised the consequences could be devastating and outweighed the benefits. So these replacement, like, is it Statoil and Chevron, they're coming in?
So there's nine licences in the bite. There's nine licences. Statoil have just recently, in May, changed their name to Equinor. So they wanted to get rid of oil in their name.
Okay.
And so Equinor, like quality, and Norway. It's a new name, and it's actually part of their transition out of oil. But, you know, in reality, maybe it's a bit of a PR stunt, but in reality, they're still, you know, going ahead with these dangerous oil projects when they could be coming to Australia and investing in renewable energy.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and Australia is one of those lucky countries where we pretty much have unlimited renewable energy. Like, we have
unlimited
wind,
solar and wind.
Solar.
Yeah.
So do you believe the government should fulfil their obligations to protect the environment? Are they out of step with what the communities that they elected to represent?
Maybe we could hand it over.
What do you think? Yeah, well, we're introducing the girls that actually, amazing girls that went out of your way to make this happen and really highlight the plight of what's going on and bring a community together and unite them together for Fight for the Bite. So we'll pass it over to these girls. Hey, again, welcome, girls.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
We'll let you pass it over to you.
All right.
Good luck.
All right.
So
let's go. What are we talking about?
Okay. So how do you girls start having an interest in the environment? We'll start with that.
So
we're just so young. It's just amazing to see.
Yeah.
Our community has always been very revolved around environmental issues and have always been very keen on helping out with Greenpeace and anyone that's trying to protect the environment, and also our school as well. So we've sort of been brought up in an environment where everyone cares a lot about what's going on.
And especially
us.
Being, you know, surrounded in such a beautiful environment, like amazing, right at the beach and on the hills, and we're, you know,
pristine.
We can't miss
We have our best memories from when we were little of being at the beach and being in the mountains and just all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I reckon for me, because I was originally a city girl, so I moved down here 2-3 years ago now. That sort of just changed my mind. Like, I didn't really realise that there were beautiful places like this.
So you became really connected.
Yeah, and how much places like this need to be.
How's that changed you, being connected to Earth?
A lot, I feel just a lot happier. You know what I mean?
Smiling all three of you. Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, because I grew up on a highway, and which was really fun. on a highway, and then moved down here, like 100 metres from the beach, our houses. So it's just such a difference, and just changed my opinion, my whole family's opinion, just sort of.
And a lot of people take it for granted too, don't they? Because when you live in the city, people, I think, they're living with pollution and smog
and sort of the day to day
and rubbish and there's rubbish in the waterways, and there's obviously a lot of storm water that gets washed out into the bay, especially in the city anyway.
And you
come down here, it's a couple of hours away from the city, and the bay here is clean, the water is clean, you feel safe to go swimming in it, and
it's
you can see the bottom and it's clean.
It's
insane going from we've got a house up in Melbourne at near St Kilda Beach, and it's insane going from there where it's like warm and it smells like rubbish and it's just green and weird.
You don't
put brown
your
and
feet in
no,
the water.
Yeah.
It's like it's sliming, I know.
Yeah.
Poor darlings, I know.
And then you come back here and it's just pristine and beautiful and clean. And just
so I think we have a responsibility.
We really just can't live.
Yeah, voice definitely. For the voiceless.
And like you said, a lot of the community activity revolves around the beach.
We do a lot of school activities at the beach. We actually have surfing as a subject for a lot of the time.
Amazing.
Our Year 9 program, last year our Year 9 program, we
spent,
would
like,
be
a good
like
half the year
half
in the water.
A week or something. Yeah. We just be swimming and surfing and snorkeling and stuff, and it's really like it just teaches you so many things that you can't learn in a classroom.
No,
like,
true.
It's beautiful.
It's absolutely amazing. So how did you get onto this project? What made you get onto this project?
So, for my work experience, we they were like, oh yeah, you can go up to Greenpeace in Sydney. So I did that for a week, and I actually had no idea whatsoever about the proposition of oil drilling in the Bight.
I didn't even think I knew what the Bight was.
I sort of, because I was very confused about what I wanted to do, and I said to my teacher, oh, I'm really keen on the environment, that'd be awesome. And he's like, yeah, you can go up to Greenpeace in Sydney, we can sort that out for you. I'm like, that'd be awesome. So I did that, and it was just mind-blowing. I had no idea about what was happening, and I was completely devastated when I heard about how it's going to affect my home environment as well as all along the Australian southern coastline. So we have been working, these guys have been the best help ever.
And I bet you bond together too when you address a project like this.
Yeah. It's just, we've been working on this for a long time, and when we heard that the Rainbow Warrior was coming down, I nearly passed out.
Honestly.
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe it.
Now that it's sort of over, we don't know what to do. Obviously it's not over in the bay, we're just like, what do we do now?
Yeah. It's just the start.
How can we help now?
Start the plan, yeah.
It's just awesome.
And it's, I think we're so passionate because it's not just like, you go to a place and you're like, it's beautiful, but this is our home, and there's so many people here. It's just so treasured, and I feel such a connection, and these guys too, to this town.
Yeah.
And to even think of anything happening just for the sake of money, it makes us all feel sick.
It would devastate the place because you've got community, you've got people who want to be healthy, and it is healthy. The environment's very pristine, which contributes to health, but you've got community people, you've got people who depend on the marine environment being healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tourism coming here.
Apollo Bay wouldn't be Apollo Bay if we didn't have this ocean.
The whole coastline.
Apollo Bay is a little fishing village.
It's also a tourist town. Like the tourism industry and the fishing industry will be so greatly affected.
Yeah. Everything will just go.
Just like the butterfly effect from there on will just be devastating.
Yeah.
And like I know a lot of people talk about oil spillages and that is worst case scenario, but if we take a step back, prior to them actually getting to the point of drilling, now we were just reading there before and having a chat to one of the ladies about all the testing. So when they go and map the area, they're using sound waves,
the seismic testing, which
actually has a massive impact.
So the seismic testing is basically bombs that map the seafloor. They are 8 times louder than an engine jet, if you can imagine how loud that is and how that would affect like a whale's hearing, who they rely on every single location.
So can you just sort of explain, you use the word bombs the ocean, can you sort of just step us through that process?
So basically,
what that all means.
They have, it's sort of like a ship, I don't really know exactly, this is sort of like the basic that I know, they just let bombs off in, I don't really know that much, I'm not an expert.
The sound waves,
that go off in, and that maps the seabed to where the oil is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are wondering what these sound waves are, we heard before they're 260 decibels.
Yeah.
So at 103 decibels, you need black.
Yeah.
So we're talking our black zone, which is earmuffs and earplugs are required. Otherwise, you're going to lose hearing within about 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, if you heard this outside, you would lose your hearing instantly.
And so people might say that 103 to 260 is sort of double, but for every 1 decibel, so go from 103 to 104, you're doubling the impact.
So, and from that to the 200.
Absolutely. So you go from 104 to 105, doubling it again. And you're talking all the way to 260.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is massive impact on the marine life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have whales. It's a whale sanctuary.
Yeah, it's a whale sanctuary.
Whales navigate on sonar, which is actually having that wiped out.
Actually, it's threatened species. So like I said, 85% are endemic to that area, but we have some threatened species part of that as well. That you don't find anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes quite important to shine a light. But the worst part about it is that there's renewable energies and everyone could have a win-win situation. So they can look after their economy, but we could have our pristine environment because we could invest in renewable energy.
Yeah.
has that been part of your project too, girls, about talking about looking at renewable energies as opposed to going into the Bight?
Yeah, well,
as well as
when
the
when I went on work experience at Friends of the Earth, which is also a environmental organisation, the same week as Grace when she went to Greenpeace, and I worked on lots of renewable energy stuff. That I did their media work for them, and wrote up blogs and stuff for them. And I brought back a little bit of information about that. So I think yeah, that's definitely, that needs to happen. You know, this is just stupid. Like,
it's so outdated.
Expensive and it's old, yeah. And it we old, have, it's right in front of us, but you know.
We have better options just to choose. Money is more important.
Yeah, yeah. And the other countries are obviously taking up the renewable energies. And are leaving behind the outdated method, so we need to keep up with it as well. Yeah.
It's actually shocking that we haven't jumped on that board yet, and we are still even considering letting someone come and destroy our pristine environment. And it just makes no sense.
We just have to keep doing this, what we did today, and make it bearing, just keep fighting, because
we can't. Amazing how much of the community sort of turned up.
Oh, it brought me to tears.
The weather and everything,
And
it's really, I think it's really important that the younger kids also know about this as well, because obviously we are too, but they're the future, and they're going to be, you know, in a few years we'll be out of this town and doing other things, and then, you know, they'll be the ones that will have to go through the devastating effects if this happens, so it's really important that they get on board.
And I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to let, you know, the other generations that have, you know, stuffed this up for us a little bit.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why I'm a strong advocate for it too is I don't want my children to say to me, if there was an incident, why didn't you stand up? Why didn't you become a voice for the voiceless?
It just wasn't educated. No? Like, you know, it just wasn't talked about as much then. And the temperatures weren't as high then, and it's all just kind of rushing.
We don't have unlimited Earths. It's like people just there's do not
no
understand
Earth
that.
B, you know, we've just got this wrong.
And that is really an education piece. I love that you touched on that. And education. Even when you said you went to Greenpeace, you weren't even aware that this may have been an issue.
I didn't even
bike.
Know.
So, so what
I didn't
type
even
of things?
Know what the bike was.
So, what would be your key points from an education piece that you want to share, not just with the town but the wider community, about the impact, but you know, why we don't need it and the impact of it? Obviously, these things do have risks. Like, I know there's a lot of safety protocols put in place, but things happen. Mm. And I'd like to touch on, Grace, you talked about some of the impact there from Mexico. A bit earlier, and I'd like to touch on that just shortly, but just quickly I'd like to touch on what you see as your key messages for the education piece.
Well, I think that the bite sort of just needs to become famous. That's sort of what the
goal
was.
We just need to shine light upon it.
On the bite and show how beautiful and amazing it is. So like the Great Barrier Reef is already really,
kind
really famous,
rooted,
obviously,
though.
And yeah, it's... Yeah.
It's been destroyed.
Yeah, there's no going back. There's no getting it back now. But so now it's time to save the bite, which is... really important. So I think making it
not
really
just
famous.
For us, for the future generations, which actually that is us, I just realised.
Oh,
but for everyone and just
and it's not even, you know, some people might be thinking, oh, the bite, that's not near me, but the spill will reach, you know, the southern coast.
The entire,
all the
way up
entire
coast
southern coast.
Was it all the way up to northern?
It could possibly
New South
get
Wales.
Up to Bondi, If it does spill, it could
and
possibly get up
Perth
to Bondi.
And also and Tasmania,
so
all
it's
around
not,
us.
You know, there's some things, you know, when I was younger I'd hear, oh, you know, that doesn't affect me, but this is going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah, don't, it really makes
this
sense.
Is going to affect a lot of people.
And what do you say to the people who, I have seen people who say, oh, you know, we're over-exaggerating, that there won't be an oil spill. My answer to them would be that BP actually pulled out after research and investigation of possible consequences, and noting that it's probably a lot worse than they ever thought, so they decided to pull out their permit.
Yeah, look, I guess that's one of the things that concerns me too, because look, I'm a risk manager in my day job, so when we look at risk, we look at likelihood and consequence. And for those that are listening out there, I know a lot of people say, look, we're scaremongering by saying, you know, if this happens, it's going to be catastrophic. Well, actually, it will be.
It will be. Yeah. And there's actually been research from the oil companies themselves that say that it will be.
And even if the likelihood's small, you know, if it does,
it's still gonna do,
but it does happen, the consequences are catastrophic.
The risks
there's no pulling it back. And that makes a risk, you know, very high, actually, or catastrophic in terms of risk. Moving forward, and the fact that one of the major players in the oil industry has pulled out, and for those that don't live in the local area, they call this the shipwreck coast for a reason, because
that accessibility would be
like
very
difficult. So it's new technology. They're obviously drilling down a couple of kilometres into the seabed. It's
and
quite
there's
often
like, there's
the,
no
like
going
Collison.
Back once that happens.
The waves are massive out there regularly. Like today is, I'd say, a fairly mild day, but you can see the Rainbow
really
Warrior
not.
There just tossing like a cork in the bay, actually. I'm thinking, that's tossing around out there, but it's actually a fairly mild day.
It's windy, but it's not, you know, it's anything compared to what it is.
And the other thing is, like Holly said, it's entirely experimental. They don't actually know that it's going to work.
That's the risky part, isn't it?
There's just no elevates that risk even more.
The risks outweigh the benefits so much.
But I still go back, I'm sorry, I know I'm badging on this, but there's so much risk for... We've got the answers right there. We've got renewable energy right in front of us. Mm. Why risk everything we have?
Yeah.
Our community, for our something we don't actually need.
Our
resources, our, you know, consequences of an oil spill. Why risk it when we've got them right in front of our nose? And energy.
As a Norwegian company, like, I'd like to think what they would do if Australia decided to go do this big oil mining,
it's
like,
just
right
money,
where they
that's
live
all
and
it
see.
Is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, you know, yeah. Like, we could, you know, we have these solar panels and, you know, whatever. We've got all that. But
wind energy.
They, you know, they, it's just money, and it just makes me sick, because when are they going to realise that, you know, you can't eat money and you can't... Money is just a...
You can't breathe it. You can't breathe it.
You can't breathe it.
You
can't
live on the Indian proverb. Remember that one?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, oh, it's just horrible.
Mm. It must be frustrating for you young guys.
Oh, it makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
We're sort of leaving a little bit of a waste in the world, aren't we?
We do.
Yeah. So there's got to be another way. And there is another way.
We are looking right at the other way, but we're deciding not. Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah, so outdated methods need to be updated. So let's follow what the rest of the world are doing.
Yeah.
Let's keep up with them. Let's save our pristine environment, the communities, the fisheries, the tourism that we have here, all by going, obviously, to renewables. I mean, we all consumers, I understand that. We all, you know, as humans, we all drive cars, we all consume petroleum products, but hey,
we can listen to that.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. And renewable energy is obviously, you know, the frontier, the new pathway.
Yeah. Mm. Girls, any parting words that you'd like to share with the audience and the listeners out there?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.
We'll
say our little catchphrases.
Yeah.
We are the people versus oil.
Fight for the bite.
Fight for the bite. Make oil history.
There's one more.
I think that was it.
I think that's it.
Those are little catchphrases that we like to
make. Really proud of you girls.
Thank you.
Thank you
so young.
Thank
you. Fantastic that you're projecting that into our future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Thanks for raising awareness.
Thank you.
Thank you, girls. Brilliant.
Original event that